Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Love Triangle UK Season 1, Episodes 1 through to 3. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave, what was interesting with this, we were getting, at the end of Maths Australia, it was like, you know, people in the Facebook page and the chat and everything, and contacting us saying, oh, it's pretty good, this, you know, but there are a bunch of bellends, you know, it's quite similar to Maths, which we both found out that it's actually made by the Maths Australia production people, Dave, and it is a franchise, which is around the world, and does have a lot of that Maths DNA, doesn't it? Like, you know, especially the dinner party thing. But I must admit, Dave, the first two episodes, and the thing that hooked me in, I know we'd had like people suggesting, which was really good, I'd seen little snippets on Gogglebox of like one of the characters, Lloyd, and I'm like, oh, this has got me and you all over it. So I messaged you going, Dave, this looks fucking really good. I know people have said we were unsure what we were going to do to stop the gap between Maths and the show that shall not be named. And I was like, this looks pretty good. Let's get on it. But I must admit, Dave, the first two episodes, I was a little bit underwhelmed. I know we're laying down the marker of what the show, it's a brand new concept in the UK, which it isn't really. It's basically Maths, but a little bit to the right or the left, whichever way you see. It's just a little bit off that Maths DNA sort of thing, but it's very similar. And I kept thinking, this is fucking Singletown. Now, if anyone's not watched Singletown, it's one of the first shows that we sort of covered, didn't we, outside Love Island when we first started the podcast. And that was a real cheap E4 or ITV or a dating show in the UK. And it was okay, but it was just a bit, I think Joel Dommett did it, was one of the presenters and all that. And we always laugh about it. And I kept thinking, this is a cheapo version of Maths. However, by episode 3, I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking in now. I am in. So I know I've sort of gone off on a tangent before we meet everybody, but what were your initial thoughts on it, Dave? Because like I say, I was lukewarm to say the least.
Yeah, and like yourself, obviously, I'd seen all the comments about how this is great and where do they find these bell ends and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, oh, crikey, you know, this sounds like just a bit of us and we should get stuck into it. And I should say about the basic premise, like you say, it's very much like Maths, isn't it? But instead of the experts or the judges putting people together, they actually have a choice between two people. And usually it's, you know, someone who's what they'd normally go for and then someone who's a bit different. And then they'll exchange texts. And so you've got six actual people who are doing the choosing. So you've got Jasmina, you've got Lloyd, you've got Danica, you've got Zaralina, you've got Dan, you've got Mike. And then each of those has two people that they're talking to. And then they'll make a choice about who they're going to go with. But then that's it. They basically go on a first date and then move in together. So it's almost like Maths on steroids, isn't it? Because Maths, they kind of get together at the wedding. They have a proper sort of wedding, not a legally bound one, but, you know, like it all looks like a proper wedding and stuff and go off for it with a honeymoon. It's a few weeks before they actually get into the, I mean, in Australia, it's the Sky Apartments, isn't it? You know, and then they're living together in each other's pockets, you know, in each other's fucking faces and stuff. With this one, they're straight in there. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I could see, you know, you're going to have a bit of drama here and, you know, it's going to be exciting. Chris, those first two episodes were shit.
Yeah.
It's shocking. I mean, we know the Maths producers can do this at episode one. I mean, when we're watching things like Love Island, they always say like the first week is hard going because everyone's on their best behavior. You know, they're trying to look best, look as good as possible in front of the camera and stuff. And then it's like week two and three where the drama starts to ramp up. But with Maths, they seem to have it down where even from episode one, you know, they can throw that drama in. And the only way they seem to get the drama in those first two episodes was by showing stuff, spoiling stuff that happens later.
Yes.
So, yeah, after the first two episodes, I was like, you know the meme where you've got like the stick man and he's got a little stick and he's like, come on, do something. that was me. You know, I'm like, come on, fucking, there's things that jumped out in terms of some of the choosers and you're like, oh, you're a fucking dick, you know, and we'll get into each of the couples and whatever, but nothing to really make me care. But then episode three, I think it ramps up and I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were going to do the first two episodes, weren't we? But
yeah,
I don't know how much we'd have to talk about, but I'm glad just because of timing and stuff, we said, no, no, we'll break it into threes and then do the last two. Cause there's 10 episodes, isn't there? So, I know we'll figure out how we do that last episode. So yeah, I mean, what did you think, Chris?
Yeah, exactly the same. It would have been a fucking boring podcast, Dave. We'd have had to go off on tangent after tangent to keep even us interested, let alone anybody listening to us talk about it. But the word Bellend did come up quite a lot, I think, even in the first episode. I think meeting the contestants, and it's all filmed around Manchester by the looks of it, Dave. That I'm 100% yeah. certain. It's all in Manchester City Centre, that 100% right near me.
And even the contestants all seem to be... they're not all from Manchester originally, but I think they are from that catchment area.
Yeah, which is what we said, didn't we, about Maths Australia? You know, why have someone yeah. who lives 6 hours away? Or like when we did American Love Island. I know the UK is a smaller place, but it's still you've still got to travel. It's usually by train, don't it, to get... If you're at the top of Scotland to London, it will take you 6-7 hours on a train. But if you go, say, from Manchester to London, it's 2 hours on a train. But like in America, it can be 5 hours on a plane, can't it? Like Australia's the same. Australia's massive, as is America. So they never were these relocation ones. I don't care what anybody says. I just don't believe that long-term it's viable. Someone's got to give, unless you're Jack, obviously, from Australia, and he's just fucking Tory's got to give everything up for him. Fucking pair of cocks, them two. But anyway, I'm still smarting from them two dicks. But I think watching the first episode, so we get to meet Jasmine and she's got a disability, hasn't she? And she talks about that. You know, she meets Matt. Now, Matt is the guy she picks. He's a Mark Owen. In a Mark Owen, I'll take that tribute band. He's Mark Owen. He looks so familiar to me. And me and Sam were like saying, Sam said it. She said, he looked, I said, I was going to say that. I must have been on some reality show that I've watched, Dave, 100%. I can't find it. He's called Matt Hall. I think he's from Barnsley or somewhere like that. And I was looking there a little rabbit hole. However, seems like they get on, like, nice couple. They, you know, obviously Jasmine talked about a disability and, you know, the fact that it's something she's so conscious of, and I can totally get that, you know. But if we go in the first few episodes, they seem really smitten, don't they? They're so affectionate together. There seems like a good chemistry straight away, and by the sounds of it, Jasmine just wanted to rip his clothes off within the first meeting when they actually got to the flat. So that's always a good sign for these reality shows, Dave. But yeah, for them too, I was sort of like, yeah, I hope it works out. She seems like she's quite a nice person. She's a teaching assistant, and that he's, you know, he's doing all this take that stuff, which is a bit random, but he's obviously earning a good wage out of it.
Yeah, so I actually think Jasmine didn't really like him at first, and I'm not sure, maybe it was just because she was a bit nervous, but in that initial meeting, I found it quite awkward. And what she was saying was she usually gravitates towards the bad boy. And he isn't that, is he, Matt? He's kind of like just a nice guy. The fact that he plays Mark Owen in Take That, who's, you know, supposedly one of the nicest guys. Certainly that was his persona in the band. So I don't know. I felt like she wasn't really feeling it at the start. But Christ, by the end of the three episodes, you know, they seemed to be on that path, didn't they? You know, things were gradually building up between them. So yeah, I'm intrigued where they go, those two.
Yeah, me too. And they seem genuine. There's a couple of couples that do actually seem quite genuine, but one of the couples that are not genuine, Dave, was Lloyd and Brody. So Lloyd is a DJ from Manchester. He literally loves the smell of his own farts. He thinks he's fucking Well, apparently he said he's a cross between The Rock and Jason Momoa. I don't see that, Dave. You know, he's a tall lad. He can see he's in shape. I don't think I think he thinks he has the body of The Rock, but he was flexing his pecs. He's doing all the innuendo.
I'm going to stop myself.
Yeah, the innuendo is just ridiculous. He's like, how old are you? 12. It's like, what? Oh, you're looking at me, are you? Yeah, yeah. Oh, look at this bed. Oh, it's really springy. Oh, is it? Is this fucking Carry On fucking Matron or something from the 70s? What the fuck is this chat? And he's like, oh, I get loads of women. And then he was so offensive to Brody, wasn't he? Oh, she's not my type. And some of the things he said to her, like, oh, yeah, well, you're not slim. And I'm like, how dare you say that to her? What an utter bellend. You do not say stuff like that to anybody. What was it?
He said something like, I like tall, slim women.
You are not one of those.
Yeah. What the fuck?
You absolute. See you next Tuesday. Honestly. What a massive knob. He's definitely up there. He's a contender for Bell End of the Week, Chris. But I don't, we'll discuss who the award goes to later. But yeah, he was definitely the first one that jumped out as, oh, wow, you are a tool. You are a prime tool. And you say about, you know, he sort of thinks like he's got the body of The Rock or Jason Momoa. He really doesn't. He so doesn't. Like, you have to actually go for the gym there for that, mate. But he is actually a big guy. Like, you know, you can see he's physically, he's got a big frame, hasn't he? But, you know, he doesn't have any fucking muscles from what I can tell. But, yeah, beyond that, though, he just is a tool, and you can just tell this is a guy who hasn't had any serious relationships with fucking anyone. He's still living that DJ lifestyle, and you know, he doesn't seem like he's interested in kind of settling down. He can't even play the game, Chris. The game is with these shows, we all know you want the influencer lifestyle, right? But the game is you have to at least pretend like, oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. But now I'm looking to, you know, I'm ready to settle down now. He can't even fucking do that because he doesn't seem to be interested in settling down at all. He just wants more one night stands and stuff. It's like, look, mate, you got to pretend a little bit. But no, he's just, I think he's so fucking narcissistic that, you know, he doesn't even give a shit. He doesn't even want to put up a front that, you know, that's, he's just on the show for followers.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, and so offensive and just fucking, I know we'll talk about the dinner party because we need to talk about Danica and Jack. Mm. Well, Danica's the other contestant. And what I don't understand, Dave, it does feel as if with the producers, this like text message nonsense, you know, they're supposed to be messaging each other or WhatsApping each other. And we're seeing these like dead generic texts, aren't we? And there's nobody in the couples who has picked the person they would normally go with. There's a reason, obviously, they're probably single or allegedly single for the show. So they pick someone who's completely the opposite. And I don't believe that Danica's even picked Jack. He's a fucking yoga guy. He, you know, he's into chi and whatever he's into. He lives his life a certain way. He looks very, very like regimented as someone who, like we all do with OCD or whatever. He lives a very, this is what we do at this time and everything. So she picks him, and she obviously is someone who lives every single minute as it is. As basically, she decides what she's doing there and then. She hasn't got a plan or anything. And I must admit, that's the one thing with the couples that is like they've all picked the opposite. But then in the background, you've also got the triangle of the person who they normally pick. You know, we can allude to the fact that they're probably going to turn up. So we could get some couple swaps and that. But the Danica, again, Dave, she's just really strange. Like, yeah, I'm a personal trainer, I do this. And they're showing all these like clips of her. And again, I'm like, you're only on this for the fucking fame. Yeah. You're on it for your 5 minutes of fame. You're with a talent agency. Not sure what talent you've got, but you're going to do everything you can in your power to be like the main character. And ultimately it ends by episode three that Jessie's with Jack. There's a few little flashpoints. She's saying she's getting nothing out of him. I thought Jack come across quite grown up actually, Dave, for these shows. He seemed like, from what we saw, but yeah, she ends up snogging Lloyd, and the fakest laugh and the way she was leaning into Lloyd, I was like, you two know each other. And it was like the producers that or someone's told him before, Lloyd's the one used, and Lloyd said, like, you need to get with Danica, you know, and that's, it just seems so fucking fake to me. And like, just, and if it wasn't, it was fucking disrespectful to their alleged partners at this point.
I mean, it's all different levels of fake, isn't it?
But yeah.
I felt like, you know, with Lloyd and Danica, they're so wrapped up in themselves. They actually don't give a fuck about anyone else. They don't care who they're going to offend or upset. They just don't care. So I bought into that. And, you know, in her interactions after with Jack, in her talking to the camera, she just blatantly said, I don't care. You know, I'm here for me. Fuck it. So, you know, it was quite amusing when Lloyd said, yeah, Danica's the sort of person I'd go for for a one-night stand. It's like, fucking smoke that.
The face, though, what it was like. Yeah, Lloyd's not, to be fair, he's not changing his fucking character for anybody.
No.
He's just going to tell you straight, yeah, you just somebody I'd get on a one-night stand. We both have a great time. See you later. Don't fucking follow me or stalk me on social media. I think she was, her head, she's like, oh, this is it. We're the power couple here. This is like the influencer lifestyle. You know, we're going to be an OK magazine. I think it just, everything flashed in front of her. And then he just shot her down. But everyone at the table's like, because obviously the dinner party is just maths, basically, isn't it? They all come in and everyone else is like, oh, fucking hell. Oh, you know, and all that. But yeah, it was a good drama. And that's what sort of brought me in then. Because I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can get on board with this. As much as we need these people in real life, you're like, yeah, fucking pair of bellends. They were my bellends of the week, Deb. And we haven't got to that, but I'll go early. I know you have to tell us yours, but I'm going with these two because they didn't read the script, which was good. And you're right about Lloyd. It's like, not like, yeah, we need to have a chat. We need to just do this until we get to the commitment bit. And then you can hate me all you want, but we need to stay in the show. And Lloyd's like, fuck that. I'm just here to be smug. And I do want the influencer life. So yeah, that was a point in time in the show where it reeled me in then. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. And to the point, by the end of episode three, if everything else that had gone on, me and Sam were like, Sam's like, sure you don't want to watch it? I went, no, we're recording. Do not go ahead because I'll end up messing up and I'll talk about stuff and ruining episodes. So we haven't watched any further than these episodes, but it has given me that, oh, what's happening in episode four feel about it, which is a good thing as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was definitely not feeling it for the first two episodes, but there's almost two bits, wasn't there? It was like a cocktail party sort of thing and then a dinner party as well. It's like, yeah, this is where all the good stuff happens. But in that episode three, even before that, you could see that Lloyd and Brody, you know, their relationship had completely broken down. They just weren't feeling it at all. And I have to say, Chris, as much of a prick as Lloyd is, not particularly like Brody either. In fact, I'm not sure if any of this lot I like. This seems to be a repetitive theme for me, I guess, isn't it? You know, for maths, for anything. But it was just funny to see they made their mind up. And despite the fact that, you know, when Danica and Lloyd got together and Jack was a bit put out, and I can understand why Jack was put out, because they seemed to be getting on okay. And then there was this thing about, you know, he didn't show physical affection back. I mean, they've been there for what, 2 days or something? And so, you know, I can understand them being a bit standoffish, but that seemed to fracture their relationship. So I can understand why Jack is a bit blindsided, whereas Brody's like, fucking brilliant, gets him off my hands.
Take him.
Yeah. So, but that was definitely where the series kind of caught fire. And I can imagine, because obviously other people will have watched ahead, I'm sure. Other people might be thinking, oh, it gets even better after that. But yeah, definitely for episode three, I was in. And yeah, I the thing is with Jack, I mean, he looks like a beefed up Gareth from The Office. That fucking hair. He needs to sort that out. He just needs to walk around like he's had a bowl cut from his mum. I mean, he's got fucking the massive guns and everything. He's a big, tall guy. You know, get your fucking hair sorted out. But got to ask you, Chris, bit of a tangent here. Are you for washing the mushrooms, or do you kind of like to cut them up and cook them unwashed?
No, I do just run the tap on the mushrooms, Dave. I just put the tap on them, then I'll chop them up. It has been known for me to be lazy and just put them straight in the pan with a bit of oil, thinking, well, the heat will kill it. But yes, I do wash the mushrooms usually.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I'm not one or the other, but I think of late I've been like, oh no, I can get behind the idea that, you know, bit of dirt doesn't sort of kill you. You know, there's lots of kind of B12 vitamins in the dirt and stuff, and I can go for that. So not obviously if they're caked in fucking mud or anything. Yeah. No, I just of late I've been for not washing the mushrooms.
I did think that was a euphemism, Dave. I'm thinking, what's he talking about? I was looking down at me fucking mushrooms myself. Thinking,
I always wash plums, Chris.
Yeah, I was thinking of me mushroom, not me mushroom. I was looking down going, yeah, they're fairly clean.
Anyway. I think, isn't that what fucking Stormy Daniel? Oh, let's not go down
there. No. But Dave, so then we met. And the thing is, actually, so what we'll do, we'll jump slightly, is you say about Jack. So we met Dan and Ali, didn't we? And Jack had a bit of a thing for Ali. However, we've got to talk about Dan. Fuck me. What did you think of him, Dave? Because I was watching it thinking, Dave's going to love this guy.
Yeah, fucking hate him. What a fucking self-centered, privileged knob. I mean, he's obviously, he's got that privilege. He goes around traveling here, there and everywhere. You know, you have to, not everyone can do that straight off the bat. But, oh my God, who behaves like that? Especially when you first meet someone. You know, again, a bit like Lloyd, where I'd say, you know, you do understand the premise of the show, don't you? You're supposed to be open to this relationship. You're not, you know, we all know that you're just fucking here for a cash grab, but you know, we still cling to that belief. We still want to find those genuine people. And he's just like talking about his trauma from his previous relationships. But not only that, he's getting all arsey because, like, Ali's, you know, sort of, well, this is a bit weird, and nervously smiling and stuff. It's like, oh, I don't think you understand my trauma. I'm like, oh, fuck off, mate. Honestly. Chris, he is my bell end of the week. There were some strong, strong contenders. Lloyd, definitely in the running. Danica, definitely in the running. But the fucking whininess, honestly, I couldn't stand it. And I just think, yeah, he's the worst for me.
And you know what, Dave? You can clearly see he's from a privileged background, isn't he? You know, I don't give a fuck what he says. Oh, I've worked hard. My bollocks, you have. You've had that silver spoon in your mouth. And he's definitely the guy on Instagram, Dave, because of this traveling, he's on the top of some massive mountain overseeing some fucking city with a beach and everything. And he's like, oh, great way to start a Monday meeting. And he's got his laptop there, like he's doing a Teams call. And he's got the Tony Robbins quotes, and he's got the fucking, the wanky,
definitely
fucking,
the motivational.
You know, he's got the motivational pictures, and you live life, believe, achieve, and all this. It's like, shut up, you fucking dick. You know, doing one-handed, doing handstands upside down, and then he's like, yeah, what a great way to start you know, fucking the financial year. So, oh, you can just see he's an absolute dick, Dave. I'm not even looking at his social media. I cannot be bothered, but that's exactly driving a Ferrari. Look how far I've come. Yeah, with the £1 million you probably got off your parents to fucking start life. I might be wrong here, Dave. I might be way off, but he just looks one of them privileged pricks, doesn't he? And he got sussed out anyway, because Ali said about, well, she's having a go at him properly at like the dinner party. And she said, yeah, he turned around and said, let's save that for the camera. And he was like, you're not supposed to do that. What are you doing? You're breaking the fourth wall of reality TV. She was like, no, she's had enough of him. He's a fucking dick as well, Dave. I think he was close to Lloyd as well. He was just annoying, wasn't he? I've had tattoos. Every time I've been upset, I've had a tattoo. Fuck me, we want many tattoos. You look like he'd fucking been drawn on with crayon. It's not like he's got a full sleeve of fucking tattoos where maybe you're the problem, mate. He's like, oh, fuck off. You know what?
It's almost like Phoebe when she gets the blue dot, the world.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Is that a mole? No, it's a trauma. Fuck off.
Here's my trauma. Honestly, Chris, I couldn't help it, but when we were talking there, I just thought, let's have a fucking look at his Instagram. You're right. You know, it's
all right.
Here, I can see he's obviously in some kind of, I don't know, is that a sauna or something like that? His second picture here, he's washing an elephant with his shirt off.
Oh, fuck off. Oh, he does CrossFit and everything, doesn't he? You can just tell.
Fucking knob.
Oh, me. You can just tell, can't you? And I'm not saying he's the only one, but he was, I agree, he was so fucking irritating. I'm like, why are you even on this show? You know what I mean? Like, why are you here?
Yeah, because he's got 24,000 followers.
Yeah, he needs to double that, doesn't he? Fucking brilliant. Oh,
yeah, but yeah, so definitely bell end of the week for me. But did we speak about, because we had another Lloyd, didn't we? So Zarolina and Lloyd.
Yeah, so Zarolina, she's local. I think she's Preston, actually, Dave, place where you all went right to uni. She'd pretty girl. She was chatting away, and then she said, actually, and she shot, I'm very brave of her. She took her hair off. She lost the hair in lockdown due to stress and everything, and ended up with like alopecia, and it was growing back. And she was talking about like where she is. Obviously, she's got a lot of mental health struggles she's gone through over the last few years. Lloyd, again, he come across like a nice lad, to be fair. They went on like a rock climbing expedition thing, didn't they? Up at like expedition, fucking hell, rock climbing centre.
Like an indoor.
It was an expedition, Dave. They drove there in the car, and there was a bit of rain. It was written in trepidation or something. But
stopped for a latte.
Yeah, a latte, yeah. How dare Costa put the prices up? It was terrible. But she seemed like very open and very, like, I didn't dislike her, if I'm being honest, Dave. You know, she seemed like that typical reality TV DNA sort of thing. But there was nothing about that couple that was alarm bells, in being honest. She called herself a cougar. I mean, I didn't think she was that much older than Lloyd, but they obviously fancy each other. I think by the end of it, she said that there's a genuine attraction when she got to know the guy. So, yeah, I hope it works out for him at the moment. Anyway, unless things take a massive turn, because we haven't watched the rest of it. They seem quite normal people.
Yeah. I mean, normal in the reality TV sense of normal. Yeah. But so, yeah, it's interesting she calls herself a cougar there, because I guess part of that is society, isn't it? Because if it was flipped around, like just the normal dynamic, I guess, you expect the bloke to be a little bit older than the woman. I know your case is obviously different, but just for whatever reason, I mean, fucking hell, Chris, on the VHS Strikes Back, how many movies have we watched where, oh, Christ, what was that one? The old musical one from the 60s. A funny thing happened on the way to the forum, and you got all these blokes who are clearly, you know, close to drawing their state pension, chasing around these women in their 20s. And it's like, fucking hell, it's a bit weird where, you know, you flip that and it'd be, you know, very strange for society. So I think the whole cougar thing, for me, you wouldn't look at them and go, oh, clearly, you know, she's a lot older than him. It just, I think, yeah, that was my reading of it. She's sort of repeating what, you know, society expects of her, but I don't think, what do you think about the sex parties, though?
Yeah, well, that calls off guard, Dave. I mean, Lloyd's like, yeah, you've never been to one? You've never? He's like, nope, not at all. So maybe that's going to be something that comes back to bite their relationship with the arse. I don't know. Literally, Dave, by the sounds of it. But are childish, but there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's obviously a different side to her. Maybe it's so much she likes. She's an exhibitionist. I'm not sure. But yeah, that was one of the things where I've said about them being quite normal. That was the bit where I was like, yeah, you're perfect for reality TV, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 100%. So no, yeah. I don't know where it goes, Dave. But also, talking about like, so you look at them, and if you're right to move on, Dave, I was going to Mike and Kelly. So we've got Mike and Kelly. Mike's an ex-pro basketball player. He's Canadian. He talks about like who he wants to be with. Obviously, he's a tall guy. Apparently, Dave, he's 6'7". Everything's in proportion. I'm 6'2", and it certainly isn't. That's not a fucking true statement, but there you go, other than the nose. But he seemed good. He was talking about like his mum. He'd lost his mum and everything when she came to visit him and that. And obviously it was quite raw. It's only like a couple of years. And then he gets with Kelly, and Kelly is on the show. And again, she's completely insecure, emotionally unstable. She's been completely shit on by partners. So what better way to get back onto the horse, so to speak, Dave, to go on a reality TV where potentially there will be other people vying for your partner's affection. Makes a great TV, Dave, but I'm like, yeah, this is a recipe for fucking disaster, I think.
Yeah, this couple, right, it's a bit of a roller coaster, wasn't it? Because you learn about Mike's sort of backstory and you're thinking, that's tragic. I mean, we've experienced a bit of that on Maths recently, haven't we? And you think, oh, crikey, you know, and he is obviously a big, tall guy, you know, basketball player and that. And when they first meet, you're like, oh my word, you know, she's stunning, they look like a great good looking couple and seem to get on and stuff. You're like, oh, this looks like it might actually work, Chris. This might be the Ollie and Tani from Maths Australia a season or two back, and you know, this might actually work. And then the little kind of red flags start. I mean, whenever they put in like, oh yeah, everyone's been cheating on me in my previous relationship. You know, how many times have we heard that on these reality shows, Chris, where they'll start with that, and then you watch more and more of them and you're like, the common denominator here is actually you. I mean, you can just fundamentally be completely unlucky. I totally get that. But my word, she's not ready to be in a relationship, really, is she? She's sort of like, I don't know. It's one of those where you really need to work on yourself and be comfortable with yourself, I think, before you start inviting someone else into your life. But yeah, lots of red flags, Chris. Lots of fucking fatal attraction vibes.
Fucking brilliant. And I think as well, what showed it all off was the text that they got at the end about, like, you know, Mike was going to go off and meet the other girl he'd been speaking to. And she was like, oh my God, Dave, all his clothes were getting shredded. By the time he'd gone home, and he's a 6'7" guy, he obviously has to buy his clothes from specialist tailors. He's got fucking one leg looks like he's wearing one pair of jeans, he's a pair of hot pants on his left leg, and the other one's fucking flares. He's definitely in trouble. But definitely.
Do you know what I think? I thought he played a very good game. Right up until the bit where they were doing the round the table thing at the dinner party. And I think up until that point, I thought he'd done a great job of kind of reassuring her, like, you know, we're going to see how this goes and stuff. And so they're asking, you know, who should you be matched up with? And, you know, he says, you know, Kelly, he says the right thing. And then he snatches defeat from the jaws of victory and says, yeah, but I guess there's also Zara Lena.
Yeah.
mate, read the fucking room. Like, just zip it at that point. Just stop. And so, you know, all her insecurities are fucking laid out bare then, aren't they? So, you know, even though, you know, he probably, in his head, he's probably just saying it innocently. But, I thought, oh, fucking hell, that's definitely going to set off her anxiety.
Yeah, what you do with them sort of questions, Dave, and we've seen them on these shows and in real life, is not answer them. Pick your phone up, pretend to answer and speak to someone and walk away, Dave, because there's no good comes out of that. And she'd already seen it and sort of questioned him earlier on when they first met, like they say, the cocktail party, because she had the blonde wig on at the time, Zara Leigh, and then he was chatting away, and even he could see there was a spark in his eye when he was talking to the talking heads bit about her. So maybe, Dave, maybe.
You know, this is like, Chris, this is almost like Jono and Ellie from Mass that we've just done, isn't it? You know, where it's like, oh no, there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on. But there's that chemistry. And, you know, if there's that connection, other people can see it. Yeah, you don't have to be fucking jumping into bed together for something to be going on. You know, it can be just kind of having that connection. And I'm interested to see where that goes.
I am as well. And just before we finish, actually, Dave, I did see, and we've both seen this, and I'm sure a few of you listening have, if you're keeping up with the Maths Oz sort of a fallout, John always adamant that everyone at that dinner party when he came in with Ellie knows that Lauren had a boyfriend. And from the get-go, she said, we're just doing this for the show. And the fact that she was crying and that, she said all the other contestants were having a go at her because it come out about this other boyfriend, and they cut so much out, and he said that's why he was saying to her it's all fake, this, and it was all for the screen. That's what his side of it, and it sort of is plausible, but he's still a big bellend, Dave. So I've been watching more about the fallout of this show. But if that's true, also, you're thinking, what the fuck is it? How, you know, the reality of it all is, it's just a story that we're told as like the viewers. If that's true and she's done that, it ruins the validity of the show. So they can't go, well, Lauren's got a boyfriend outside the show, which we thought Jack had, and Jack was getting called out, but Lauren wasn't. And obviously, Jono must have kept, if this is true, I think Jono's an absolute bellend, but if Jono is thinking, you sort of feel then like he did get a bit of a rough and stick, and that's why him and Ellie were so obnoxious, because they know that Lauren was bullshitting. But this whole thing where the group had to go at Lauren wasn't even shown, and when she was crying, it wasn't because of Jono, it was because she'd been rumbled or something. So I mean that is, it's believable, but also, like, who do you believe? What do you think with that one, Dave?
I think, unfortunately, with all this stuff that's coming out, I just left with, I don't fucking know what's real.
Yeah.
But what I would say is, all of this comes from Jono, all of it. You know, and I've even heard, what was the other fella, Tim? I've heard him repeating it, but it still came from Jono. So I don't buy it. I mean, there could be some grain of truth in it. But again, I just feel like you have to kind of go with your gut and your reading of people. We saw him flat out deny stuff, flat out lie consistently, you know, towards the back end of the show. So how can you put any validity in what he's saying now after the show? You know, because we've seen that consistent behavior from him. So it's not, it's like Olivia a few seasons ago, isn't it, from Maths Australia, where it's like, oh yeah, I had a bad edit. No, you can put together things, but that is you behaving like an absolute dick on the camera.
You know? 100%.
So I just think, I'm still sticking to it. I think, I don't, Lauren might have had someone on the outside, but I don't think the producers would go to that level. They don't care about one contestant versus another contestant. What they're trying to do is give us a good story. And I think the amount of editing gymnastics you'd have to go through to try and get every little bit of footage to cut out everything, make sure there's no continuity errors, you know, everything has to be out there for Lauren, because we really want to give Lauren a good edit. That doesn't seem plausible to me.
No. I'm with you. I think there's something there, but it just wouldn't ding in. Jono's a complete knob anyway, so good work, Dave. Good work. So anything else before we go, Dave?
No, I cannot wait to get stuck into the next three episodes, Chris. I say, you know, not to labour the point, but first two episodes, you could almost put them on fast forward, can't you? You could just Lloyd, you're a cock. Dan, you're a knob too. Danica, not sure about you. But get to the episode 3 and that's where it starts to take off. So I'm hoping that's the trajectory that it's on now. So episodes 4 and 5, I'm expecting big things from.
I hope so. I hope so. But no, massive thank you to everyone. And as always, if you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. Please get over to Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. Come and join us over there, guys. Big thanks to Charlene, as always, for moderating and looking after everything on there, keeping the lights on. If you do like the podcast, please drop us a review on your podcast catching app, guys. Get it on there. We do appreciate all the reviews. There's been some lovely reviews put up there the last couple of weeks, and we really, really are humbled by it. It's such good fun, and it sort of captures what we're about, the laughter and the silliness of what we do with these realities. Absolute bell end. So big thank you. If you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/CDRealityCast. So the roll call of honor for this week, and a big thank you to everyone past and present who supported the podcast, is Stacey, Sinead, Jesse, Kathleen, Sims, Andrea, Nick, Danielle, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Fiona, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Joanna, Libby, Susan, Hennessy, Lauren, Lucky Lily Green, and Ken Gustafson. So thank you so much for all your support, every single person. It's amazing stuff.
It is absolutely amazing. We always say it, but it is truly humbling, and I'm glad. Thanks to everyone as well who put us onto this show. It's a nice little kind of, probably not a palate cleanser is a good way to describe it, but, you know, it's a nice little short series. It's not like fucking Love Island, Chris, that goes on forever and ebbs away and chips away at my soul 6-7 nights a week if you're watching the unseen bits. Yeah, can't fucking wait for that one.
Well, we will be having a discussion about that maybe on the next episode, Dave. That's all I'll say. Anyway, on that bombshell, thank you so much, mate, and thanks everyone again. And I'm going to nick your line here, Dave, but I'll see you next time.
Bye now.